Good afternoon, folks. Eddie Smith here, Country Road Entertainment and Inside Studio CRE. Coming to you from 1,000 feet above sea level, 103 degrees. That's right, the armpit of hell outside of Phoenix, Arizona. That's right, because it's just so darn hot. Howdy, folks. Welcome back again. If you're new here, be sure to hit that like button here if you like what we're doing. We really try to put up some entertaining content for y'all. And today's going to be a fun one. We have another Tucson, Arizona-based talent. His name is Drew Cooper. Got a lot of interesting things to talk about today, so I want to get right into it because we're limited on time. We are live, so be sure. If you have any questions or comments, put them in the chat. We'll be going and answering those questions and interacting with you all along the way. All right. Drew, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Hey, man, we are live. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. I've been at you since 2017 or 2018 to do it.
Yeah, and I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those guys that... If I don't have my, if I'm not looking at my phone when you text, you're probably not hearing back from me.
I think I was telling you earlier, I get it. I have so many, even the band I manage complains that I don't answer enough
anymore. Well, it's funny because I'm also the guy that if you don't text me back in the, you know, the first 5 minutes that I text you, I'm going to send like 9 texts, be like, hey, what's up? Hey, hey. So I'm the biggest hypocrite when it comes to texting ever.
You know, what's funny is I used to go nuts over people that do this kind of stuff where they get stuck, they forget, or like I'm doing everything I've ever complained about. Like yesterday I was getting a text message from a musician organizing a benefit, and I typed up my reply within 10 minutes and phone rings. Don't hit send. I literally looked at that message 7 more times before I finally said, forget responding. Just tell them you're going to call them after dinner at this point.
Right. Yeah.
Just went on all day, you know?
I do the same thing. I'll think I sent it and I have sausage hands and,
oh yeah, I can relate. Yep.
And it doesn't, the phone doesn't want to pick it up. Also, apparently I have very, very little or no soul because same thing with grocery store sensors. I go to walk through and it's like, I'm not there. So I don't know if it's my body temperature is this that low, which is kind of odd for a big guy, but that could be part of the problem. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I have similar issues here. Speaking of being a big guy, let's talk about that. Let's explore this whole thing. So, you went to U of A, is that right, Tucson?
A couple times. Never graduated.
Oh, you didn't?
No, okay. I went and tried several times. We have a great, they love my money. I love the experience. It was a great thing.
That's fun. So my understanding is, okay. And we've chatted about this before. So you have, you do have a background in football, but when you were in college, you didn't play football.
No, I was a cheerleader, male cheerleader at the University of Arizona. Proud of it.
See, that's awesome. And I can already hear my in-laws all cheering right now. My wife is actually, she was born and raised in Tucson.
Oh, well, go Cats. I mean, obviously.
And that's always a big debate here because I'm a big Sun Devil football fan, and that does not fly with, even with my kids.
Man, hey, you guys have had a good couple of years. I don't want to knock you guys because I can't. You beat us last year. And some of my best friends are musicians. Ryan Bexley is a, he played for the Sun Devils, and I've lost a couple bets to him due to the Wildcats, but I'm still a Cats fan. And nice. I'm actually, and when it comes down to it, I'd love to see any Arizona team at this point get mentioned in good standing in A, TV shows, and B, ESPN.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Arizona schools seem to be the butt of every NBC comedy and ESPN joke.
So. You know, and I honestly, if you go back to the, you know, the 80s and the 90s, ASU was, I think at one point voted the number one party school in the nation. So that's kind of easy to hear. I mean, it makes complete sense. I mean, I remember in 95 or 6, I have an uncle that's literally like 3 or 4 years older than me. And while I was in high school, he started over at ASU, and it was a party.
Yeah, well, I've had a couple good times up there. I'm not allowed to talk about any, but they were, they were a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't want to get into any details either. God forbid one of my family members start watching and they're like, you did what with him?
Okay. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, I just, we drank a lot of water and we woke up early on Sunday morning. That's what we did.
Sure you did.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And you went to church at 9 a.m., right? You
hit,
you
hit at 9 a.m. and then again at 2, you know?
That's right. We got a comment from Paul Mastin says, Andrew Cooper is a big, glorious donkey. God, he's sexy.
Thanks. Thanks, TP. We call him Tall Paul.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, he's a little bit taller than me. Actually, he's probably a good 2 or 3 inches taller than me. He's also a great musician. And if whoever says otherwise, I'll fight him. Tall Paul can sing his butt off.
Yeah, and anyone, if anyone's ever met or seen Drew in person, you don't want to fight Drew.
Yeah, I meant. Not, I mean, now you probably have a fair chance. I'm getting older and it's slower, so who knows?
Well, all I know is like a few months ago, see, I'm 40 now, and a few months ago, I cracked my hand, got smashed, and it's actually still swollen, still hurts, and it's in and out of a brace all the time. So that was January 28th. I still remember the day it happened.
Man.
And I still can't use my hand. I think I told you when we chatted earlier that I actually have people helping me around the house, like doing my, so I'm like a do-it-yourselfer.
Uh-huh.
Now I have musicians doing it for me-ish, whatever you want to call it.
Well, so the cool thing about that is eventually you'll get to do it again because musicians very rarely do anything right the first time.
Oh,
That's not a problem with that's just our process and how we work. We work on a song. It's good the first time, but we can do it better the second time. And eventually we do it really well. So
that is so funny. So going back to that, so you went to college and you stayed in Tucson. So I assume mom is in Tucson.
Yeah. Mom's in Tucson. Big mama's boy. Proud of it. Yeah. You know, my little sister and little brother were both here as well. My grandparents had just moved here. So it seemed like the right thing to do. I got a couple offers to go do cheer at a couple other schools.
Really?
Yeah. But I said no and hung around.
That's pretty awesome. And well, now did you start playing music while you were in college or
just to pick up girls? And I wasn't very good.
Stop. Really?
No, man, I was, to be honest with you, I had a really hard learning curve when it came to playing and singing. So I played piano for the longest time. And then in high school, to avoid a writing class, I took guitar. Uh-huh. And I took 2 years of guitar in high school and kind of faked my way through it with the stuff I knew from piano. And then in college, I got a guitar. My dad bought me a guitar, I think for my 18th or 19th birthday. I forget what it was. And, you know, I started playing that to, you know, kind of impress women and be the guy at the party who sang songs for his friends. And that was bad. Every time I sang, I try to sound like somebody else. And if you've heard my voice, it's super raspy. It's not going to sound like anybody else. I can try all I want to, but I'm not going to sound like, I'm not going to sound pretty. So,
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no. So it was, you know, even the first 2 years that I was playing solo, when I actually decided to make it a career, were pretty rough too. It took me a while to really find my place and figure out how I was going to operate as an artist.
Huh. So, but at which point in time did you decide this is what I'm going to do though? That's my thinking.
Well, I mean, I can tell you when I wanted to do it. I can tell you right now and this may sound like a bunch of bull, but when I was 3 years old, I had a Star Search stage and light soundstage. So you put a tape in the bottom and you hit play with your foot and it lights up and you sing along, you lip sync, do karaoke with the tape pretty much. And I knew then that's what I wanted to do.
Okay.
And I don't think you found me around very often without music playing or without me singing or without me doing something musical. But when it came down to finally make the jump to full-time musician, I had a really good job. I was managing a paint store here in Tucson. You know, when you're 26 years old, making, you know, decent money, it's hard to, with a three-year-old, nonetheless, you know, it's hard to make that jump. But I told everyone in my family, including my ex-wife, I was going to go back to school. And I did that for about 2 weeks. Okay. And I started playing music full-time. So 26 is when I was brave enough to make that jump. But I've known I wanted to do this forever. This is all I've ever wanted to do.
I respect that. Now, and how many albums do you have now?
Two. We have the third one written. And we have a couple smaller EP things coming out pretty quick to you in the next 60 to 90 days. We got some stuff coming out. 26. Yeah. Now it's brave enough to make that jump.
You heard yourself for a second there. The tough part about doing this is that you got to play host and producer at the same time.
Oh no, I get it. I get it.
I need a crew, but I don't know. Like the studio, it's funny because I just had this conversation with Jeff Leese and Justin Hitson from Southbound, and they were actually surprised because they actually came out to the studio. Well, my studio is my home. We were actually looking to lease space to actually build one out with a stage and everything at one point. Then COVID happened, so we'll put that out towards 2021. But the guys came over and they just assumed they were going to be here in the studio. Well, the studio is actually only like 11 by 12.
That's cozy.
Yeah, it's cozy. So I had to, before they came out, I actually moved all the furniture out of our great room and moved my studio out there.
Oh, and those guys are extremely talented. Hopefully you got to hear some of their new music.
Well, and that's what I was alluding to. So we streamed some of their new music that they've been working on. They had just finished a couple songs in the studio that week. The one thing when it comes to music that's actually been positive with the whole lockdown quarantine situation with COVID and coronavirus is there's a lot of people writing and a lot of people recording. So that tells me, and that should tell everybody, that when this is over and we are finally 100%, you know, open as a nation, there's a lot of new stuff coming, a lot of new music. And I think we need to be excited for that, you know?
Yeah. Well, and so we were going to release some of this stuff to help fund the next album. So we were in the process of trying to fund it. And then, you know, the lockdown happened and that kind of put a kibosh on that for the time being. But so we recorded a small EP in the church I was baptized in Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And used the church and got all the natural reverb. And we did these one takes where the band and I just played the song through. No overdubbing, no go back and making it perfect, just play. And so we went and covered two of our own songs and one Tom Petty song. And then we have some live music that we've been sitting on for a while that we recorded. And then we also recorded an acoustic storytelling album in December, which will be coming out pretty quick too. So
a story you tell in the albums. Tell me more about that.
I just kind of, you know, we went back to the bar where I kind of, not kind of, cut my teeth, where I definitely cut my teeth, the Cow Pony in Tucson. And I used to play there on Monday nights with a couple of my buddies and Tuesday nights with a couple of my buddies and eventually solo. And so I went through the songs and why I played them and what I learned from them there and how it just came about, how everything kind of happened. And we recorded it. And we actually had Tall Paul come out and open one of the nights. We had two shows and Tall Paul came and opened one of the nights.
Right on.
So it was just a really cool process to kind of, even for me, like, you know, you sit down and you build a show out, especially for something like that you're doing. You build a show for it and you kind of make a plan in your head, but in the middle of a song, you have a memory pop up about another song you want to play, and you're able to tell that story and share it with people and some of the people that were there. Some of the people that watched you grow from the guy who could barely play an hour of music who, you know, now does it full time. And it was cool. It was a really great experience. So we did it in December, and my family came out, my kids came and sang a song with me. So that was just, that was actually probably the highlight for me, having them sing a song with me. And it's just a neat experience just to share that with people and share that experience, have them share their experiences with you afterwards. Because afterwards we sat and we hung around, had a couple drinks with everybody, and people were telling me stories about how they saw me at X, Y, and Z mm-hmm. place when I first started. And so that was really cool. It was extremely humbling. And it reminded you that, I mean, obviously no one in this business is self-made. You know, we're all built from other people. We're all influenced by the artists. We're all trying to make somebody proud while doing this. So it was it was neat to hear that and hear that I had made some people proud. It was neat.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Music's a pretty powerful thing, man, and it brings up so many people together.
Yeah, you know, and the that's a funny thing about it. I don't talk politics. It's not my thing to talk politics with people, but the one thing you can know is that you can go anywhere and you can run into someone, whatever they believe, creed or God, whatever they believe. There's a good chance if Sublime comes on, someone's going to be bobbing their head to it. George Strait comes on, someone's going to be bobbing their head to it. And you automatically, whether you know that person or not, you now have a connection with them. You know that, hey, they know this song obviously well enough to sing the words along, so therefore they spent time with it. You spent time with it. Now you guys have that common point in your life. Maybe not a common point in history, but a common point in your life. It's you know, a small knot tied in the yarn to make it happen.
I dig it. Hey folks, I just want to remind y'all, this is live, and Drew and I are taking your comments live here. So if you're on YouTube at Inside Studio CRE, or you're watching us from Facebook at Country Road Entertainment, ask them some questions, make some comments. I see one. It's funny. Drew, you're going to laugh. So just recently, my wife decided she's going to start participating, and she made a comment here regarding Tucson. Bear down, yeah. Arizona. Bear down, red and blue. Bear down, Arizona. You're more than a number two. You know, I'm having a hard time reading this, and it breaks my heart because it's my wife, but I just see Sparky walk. And actually, if you look at the camera right now, you'll see those white tents right there. Those are lighting, studio mm-hmm. lighting. Directly where my finger is.
Yeah.
That's Sparky.
Oh man, I may have to go. Actually, I didn't realize he was there.
Sparky's always here. Like, well, that's the only one I'm allowed in the house. they're very specific, and I mean, I'm having custom cornhole boards made up. And whenever Larry, if you're watching, get those things done, please. But one of them is actually supposed to have like a slash through it, and it's actually going to have Sparky and the Wildcat.
There you go.
And the only reason why we're not doing one of each is because, and one on both, is because one of them has to have the Country Road Entertainment logo.
Well, of course it does. You got to. Now it's a business write-off.
Exactly. See, now you can't do it. So Carly says hello. Yeah. So her mom and stepfather live right there by, was it Old Town Tucson or Downtown Tucson? We're by downtown. The college.
Yeah, down by Barrio area probably.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually where they live, is in there. They have a little tiny home. They actually built a second little tiny home in front of that. So they like rent it out on Airbnb.
It's a great little part of town. They've done a lot down there recently.
They do very well in rental. They travel 6 months of the year in their Class C RV. So they leave. He works from the road and they rent out both houses. That's just brilliant.
And let me guess, they leave at the beginning of May and they come back at the end of September.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, except for right now, they've been home. They're still home and they're not happy.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people are happy about being home all the time.
No, not at all.
But we'll pull through.
This has been just a brutal few months. And actually, I want to ask you about that. So since this has all been going on, what are you doing in terms of like keeping busy and try not to lose your mind?
So we actually are in the process of moving. So I have been doing projects left and right. And then we do live shows. We do online live shows on Facebook and Instagram.
And we've been sharing those over at Live Country Music in Arizona.
Thank you. So. Thank you very much.
And so then, anybody watching and they're not in the group, we have multiple groups. We are a national world thing. But if you go to Live Country Music in Arizona, you can see a lot of talented artists like Drew here live streaming right now. Definitely jump on that. Sorry about that, man.
Oh, no worries. And then, you know, I've done a couple private, you know, people call and say, hey, we'll give you, you know, X amount of dollars just to sign on just for us on a Zoom concert. Nice. And then I'm able to have conversation and hang out with people. And then we rely heavily on tips during those live shows and merch sales right now. So
how are the tips going right now?
You know, when it started out and there were still more people were working, we were doing better. And as you could see, the community start to hurt because the people were still there watching.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, we're not, I had saved some money up, so I wasn't too worried. I mean, I'm worried, but not too stressed. And my fiance, she still works a little bit. So we were able to kind of, you know, defer some payments and push some things off that have allowed us to kind of live through this. We're not spending a bunch of money. We're not doing anything crazy. We're eating local when we can, trying to, you know, do what we can. We've done a couple of live shows at restaurants where we split the tips with the staff there from our PayPal and Venmo. So we go there and play live and we switch, share our tips to them. Hi, Riley. How are you? And then, but things like that, and we've managed to get through. We're not high on the hog, but we're not underwater. So, but a lot of it's been based on what people can do, and as the longer this has gone, you've seen the numbers drop, but you've seen the appreciation kind of come up, not kind of jump up pretty great. And that's, I mean, if anyone tells you they get into music to make a lot of money, they're lying to you because that's not how it starts out. You get into music and you stay in music because you love it. There's no guarantee in this. You can be doing great on Monday and be completely out of the scene on Wednesday. People do make good money at this if you do it right, but it's more about treating the music right and the people that listen to the music, you know? And I've always said, if you do both those things, then usually if you treat people right, the people treat you well. So
generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I do this for a living and, I think I was telling you before, like we pretty much survive off of like Patreon when we appreciate those folks. As a matter of fact, I am wearing a hat right now from Good Time Charlie's. She just announced she's opening up on May 14th. So y'all, get down there. If she'll let you in, get in there, have some beers, eat some food, support our music venues, because that's what, you know, keeps the musicians working. And once the musicians are working, I can get back to work too. And that would be great. the tips, like I've heard some great stories where people have been, you know, very generous. You know, even though the numbers are a little, you know, askewed, you know, things of that nature.
I know, but realistically, when at a time that not everyone can work, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't working, and any money donated is generous. When you don't have money coming in, anything that anyone gives you is above and beyond what's expected. The fact that people take their time out of their day, they've been at home. There's 1,000 other artists doing live shows every day, and we get people to sit down and spend their time with me. That is pretty unreal, you know, but there's a lot of options out there, you know? So it's been, whether the money's good or not, it's been great. So.
And actually, speaking of which, we have a question from Riley Yokoyama. Mm-hmm. And I won't lie. Riley is actually, she's my kid.
Oh, hi, Riley.
So she has now created her account. So apparently the family wants to participate in this stuff.
Hey, I'll take it.
She wants to know. So my family is actually very familiar with your music. So Riley, I get where she's coming with this question. She wants to know who your biggest country music influence is as a singer. So now we were talking about this earlier. We're going to get into it. So you kind of started heavily influenced by Red Dirt and some rock singers. Can you kind of,
yeah. So I would have to say my biggest three influences when I was younger as a young person were Bon Jovi, Garth Brooks, and Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
And I know people are like, well, duh, but hopefully that comes across my music. But then, you know, in my real formative years, the stuff that really influences my songwriting now, I ran into guys, ran into their music at least, like Crosby and Ragweed, Cody Canada, Randy Rogers, Pat Green. Oh man. And it just kind of kept coming. And, you know, right now, one of my biggest influences writing wise is Jason Isbell. As a kid, I got lucky and John Prime was played at my house a lot when I was a kid. The band was played at my house a lot when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah. My grandparents too. My grandmother was a huge Beach Boys fan. The Beach Boys, they have a huge.
One of my first concerts, by the way, was the Beach Boys.
Yeah, you can't beat it. My mom actually was a stage manager at the Illinois State Fair for a long time.
Oh,
and okay. So I got to meet, you know, I got to meet these big time guys when I was a kid. You know, like when I was, we're talking 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, guys like that coming through the fair. So they were played a lot around the house. Jimmy Buffett is a huge, still huge influence of mine. Funny thing is,
love Jimmy.
The funny thing is, Paul just mentioned him today on Facebook. Jimmy Buffett just writes so simply. He explained, I read one of his books, and I forget which one it was, and I feel horrible for not remembering, but he talked about being a writer, and he said the KISS method of writing, which is keep it simple, stupid, and yeah, in the sense that you don't need to, don't try to force something that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Your best songwriting happens very organically. It comes as it comes. And you can't do anything about it. There are people out there that can definitely create on a dime, you know, say, hey, do this, and they do it. But I find for me, it's more about time and process. So I wish I had one artist I could say I leaned on a bunch, but it would definitely, I mean, Garth Brooks, performance wise on stage, Garth was the man. I mean, Chris LeDoux was one of the best musically. He wrote great songs.
Oh, Chris LeDoux was
storytelling.
Chris LeDoux was one of Garth Brooks' primary influences.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to meet Chris before he passed. And, you know, he's everything you want him to be, even more. It's just unreal. So
I think we lost Chris too soon, though. Let me tell you.
Yeah, you usually lose the good ones. The good ones always go too soon.
Mm-hmm.
But, I, you know, Ned, his son, does a hell of a job too. Ned LeDoux is super talented. When he sings his songs, he sounds like Ned. When he sings his dad's songs, he sounds like Chris. So that's a cool thing to have.
Yeah. And then you have, like, was it Wade Jennings? He's running around.
I mean, Shooter's the talent. I think Shooter's just unreal. Shooter's a talented musician, producer, writer,
right?
You know, artist. Shooter's an artist. He's not just a musician. So that's cool. I don't know the other Jennings family very well, but I do. I mean, Shooter, I know. I listen to his music, so he's just unreal.
Oh, I listen to both of them. Wade's pretty good. I like them both. You know, and it's funny because, you know, I don't know if you follow our YouTube channel. If not, you should. Country Road Entertainment. Now, this, again, everybody, this is being streamed live on Facebook and on our second channel that we launched, Inside Studio CRE, which is dedicated purely to spending the time with musicians like Drew Cooper and getting to know them. And then we have Country Road Entertainment on YouTube, which we've had for, almost 2 years. And that's cool. And Drew, I want to get with you at some point. So if you haven't watched it, Drew, you have to subscribe. I'm going to guilt you into this if you haven't.
Deal.
But we do something different than everybody else does. So we do what I call the music travel vlogs. So we actually go on the road to go find people like you, or we go on the road with you. But we film the entire experience all the way up to hanging out with you at the show. We film you at the show. I mean, it's just a whole lot of fun. And, you know, and even once a year we do a theme park series. So that's always a lot of fun too. So we're big Disney nuts. So once a year you'll actually see.
If you're not, are you even American? I don't know.
That's the thing. You know what's really funny is ever since they closed all the Disney parks, I've actually been dreaming of Disney. And I actually spent my honeymoon in Walt Disney World in October.
Oh, there you go. That's the way to do it. Me and my family are huge Disney fans. We're the kids. Well, me and my son are definitely big Star Wars fans.
Yes.
And I tend to find my fiance and my daughter watching Disney if I'm not paying attention or making dinner. All of a sudden, the TV's on a Disney movie, and I find myself captivated. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, when you know that Disney Plus they have out.
Oh yeah, no, we have it. The day it came out, we got it.
I swear, Disney, y'all need to call me because I am constantly shouting out your stuff. So when my son,
who's trying to distract me by dancing, informed me today that the new Star Wars is on there.
What new Star Wars?
The new Star Wars movies on there. Rise of Skywalker.
Okay. You know, that sucks because I actually paid to rent that.
Here's the thing, though. I think what you just did is you almost guaranteed there will be more Star Wars movies. So I appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't even get me started. I have a favorite movie series, and they went on Stars and did an actual television show, and it was amazing. I don't know if you're an Evil Dead fan. I like comedy horror.
Rob Zombie's super talented.
Well, Evil Dead was the Ramsey brothers.
I thought Rob Zombie was part of Evil Dead. Okay.
Yeah, it's very campy.
Isn't he one of the guy who has the chainsaw hand?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a shotgun hand. Shotgun.
Yeah.
His boomstick. And here's a really good thing that, like, it's based on what you said, and then I want to go back to that, what we were talking about, but they came up with an excellent show, and they were streaming it on Stars, and Stars numbers goes through the roof. We're watching it. We're loving it. I mean, it's one of the best TV shows I've ever seen. Here's what happened. People start streaming it illegally. So you can just go to these various sites, and Stars ended up dropping them. And literally it's like, it breaks your heart. Cause imagine like Star Wars being nixed because people are pirating it and streaming it for free on the internet. And to watch that happen, it was just, you know, and I'm for whatever reason, Bruce Campbell is the lead in there. I have almost every single one of his movies, bad or good. And he is primarily like B movie stuff.
Wasn't he in Briscoe County Jr. too?
Yeah. Oh, I have every episode of that. Do you know? So I have the box set.
The fact that I remember that scares me.
He never actually finished the series.
That was two seasons, I believe.
It was great, you know, and then we got to the point where you have this alien orb and everything like that in the old West, and the show ended. I remember watching that as a kid. I mean, I bought the box set 4 years ago. It was great. I mean,
it may come back. You never know. They're bringing everything back.
Well, there's talk that they're going to try and bring back another Evil Dead movie. But the point is that people streaming it illegally, guaranteed, no more.
Yeah, I mean, it's ever. I just say the entertainment, the the movie business is a money business.
So. Well, you know, and that brings me, over to music. It's like, so I've been in and out of the music scene since I was roughly 16, I think, is when I started playing guitar. And Drew, you probably don't know this. I actually was a musician myself.
Well, I think we had talked about it before.
Did we? Okay. So, I mean, I played in a couple bands in high school. There was no country band available. So I like all music. So I played in an alternative band in 96 and I think in, or 95 and 96, I got into a metal band and I played, some rhythm and lead. And then later during my first marriage, she took away all that, but she heard me sing one time and then I ended up like as a lead singer in a band where, it was mostly like, old country. Like I did a lot of Johnny Cash. I mean, but you can tell by my voice, it kind of would fit. So I did a lot of vocals and everything like that. And then I fell into the PR scene a little bit later. And what a lot of people don't understand in terms of support and everything, if you go to a venue and whether it be, you go to the Outlaw Saloon, you go to Sorrow Corners, you go to see, I know all the venues.
Yeah, you got them.
Say you go to, Bourbon Jacks, it doesn't matter. But if you don't pay a cover, even if you do, but mostly if there's no cover at the door and the band's playing, it is customary to tip the band. Folks, I know that maybe some of you don't know it, but it breaks my heart when a band's in there playing. Being a musician now, some of these guys, I mean, this is what they do full time. And it doesn't always necessarily pay a lot, but if you don't have to pay to get in, drop them a couple of bucks, drop them $5. I mean,
if you can,
if you can, absolutely.
Here's the thing. I have lived off of tips and worked my butt off to the point where I can make a decent living at it, right. without the tips. If you walk into a bar and it's a bar, it's not a live music venue, you should tip. If you, as a musician, if you put a tip jar out, that means you can't, if you can't throw a couple bucks, but at a certain point, I believe it's on the artist to know their own value.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I just think that.
I mean, kind of go off topic here is I think that a lot of what kills the music scene. Mm-hmm. Are people willing to undercut other musicians? Musicians willing to undercut other musicians?
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
I there's some incredibly talented bands out there that should be making great money and are held back by the fact that, they want to charge. If they're going to pack a bar out, I don't see charging $1,000 being a problem.
Unfortunately, most of these guys that pull this stuff, I'm not going to say all of them, but eventually a lot of these guys will more or less weed themselves out. So like, for example, and it's funny because are you familiar with Nathan Dean, the Damn Band?
Yeah. I love Nathan Dean.
He's so, you know, dude. Bill, right?
Yeah. Bill Bogan.
Yeah. Bill Bogan's actually like, literally he's one of my best friends. Okay.
I love him.
We've been texting back and forth. Oh, dude, this guy, my kids call him Uncle Bill. So we're super
close. I'm so sorry for your kids.
They love Bill. I think he's supposed to say, Bill, if you're watching, you said you're coming over Saturday. My wife said she'll make you your favorite dip, so you better show up. but if you, him and I were going back and forth because of he wants me to actually roast somebody on the air, and I told him I won't do it. But you have a guy who thinks he's a musician. He came to the Valley a couple years ago, and I showed up as a favorite, never seen him live, thought he had a cool name, showed up, we talked, and it was so bad I had to stop filming. So I periodically do these live streams and everything. It's more like marketing for a company because mm-hmm. My business, we do demos, we do commercials, we do web design, we do professional photography all in-house. That's why you see the stuff behind me next to my instruments and everything. But there's these guys that come in and it was about 5 minutes into the gig. I had to stop filming. It was so bad. But then I realized after the first hour of being there, he wasn't getting paid. he was just waiting for them to say, okay, it's time for you to get on stage. And this kept happening and happening. And there were times where I would get a text or a call from him. And this is one of the reasons why my this is no longer listed on the webs and you have to call the office, but I would get texts go, did anyone cancel? Or do you know of any place that, you know, I can play today and I'll play for, you know, $200 with a full band or for nothing. No.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're calling the wrong person, you know, and I'm going to say that publicly. I hate to say it. If you're going to undercut the bands, please don't call me.
My thing, I appreciate the fact that someone wants to play that bad. I get that. You know, I do.
Well, this particular person shouldn't play though.
at one point I was probably that guy, but I wasn't, you know, there's certain venues here in Tucson that will call and say, hey, come play here. And they go, we'll give you this day. We'll move somebody for you. I don't mess with other people's gigs. I don't undercut people.
And that's professional.
Yeah. And especially if I know there's guys that work at certain places on certain nights and they're friends of mine, even if they're not friends of mine, I'm not going to go out and be like, I'm going to take this gig tonight, because that doesn't do them any good. It certainly doesn't do me any good to be that guy.
Right.
So with that said, there's a lot of people out there that I think, especially if they're not full timers or can do that without thinking about it.
Right.
And when you're a full time guy, you realize there's guys out there, that's all they do. And, you know, Nathan Dean, Jim Bachman, like these guys are just unreal talents.
Yeah.
And they need to, they got to pay the bills. And I understand everyone has to pay the bills, but I don't believe undercutting people to steal a job in any line of business is healthy. So
yeah,
just when you do it musicianship, it just tends to stand out a little bit. It's harder to hide. You know?
Oh, well, you get found out. Like I actually have a list, and for anyone's listening, yes, I do. I have a list. I know who does it in the Valley. And I know everybody in the Phoenix area that does it, and the people that do it in Tucson, I know it too. I won't say anything, but if you call me and you ask me a favor, it's not coming. And here's why. Now, granted, I am a former musician, but Drew, you'll understand this. As a music promoter, this is what I do for a living. If the bands don't make a living and they can't afford to pay PR, they can't afford to hire a photographer, can't afford to hire a camera guy for whatever it is that they're trying to do or accomplish, or they need to book some shows, they can't afford to do that. It trickles down to me. So if you're undercutting them, they lose the gig, I'm losing work too.
Yeah.
And it's this big downward spiral. So, you know,
I think a lot of that stems from people trying to get into the business too quickly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young artists out there that have a lot of talent and a lot of future in them, but they assume after 6 months of playing, you know, crap gigs that they need to be getting these big shows.
They have to be paid. It takes time.
It's about woodshedding. You know, I have a buddy of mine, Shane Britt from the Coltranes, those guys woodshed nonstop, and it shows. They go out and they put on good shows every time. Tall Paul woodsheds nonstop. Jim Bachman, Nathan Dean, Patrick James Jr. These guys, myself, I will work out. I mean, I'll do work all day long around the house, and when my family goes to bed, I'm sitting there with a guitar and a notepad working on things or trying to be a better player.
Right.
And that should never stop, no matter who you are as a musician. And also you need to realize there's not a hierarchy. There is a certain ability level that comes along with doing the work. And if you don't do the work and you don't learn how to deal with X, Y, and Z happening to you at a show, and you go into a bigger level and something like that happens, you're screwed. Like we opened for Cody Johnson. I'm definitely name dropping. I don't feel bad about it.
I love Cody Johnson, by the way.
Yeah, hey, good dude.
You know him personally? Because I sent an email over to them. I would love to get him on the show.
We're friends. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I had the strings to to pull that and make that happen. But I could always send an email for you. I have no problem doing that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But we opened for Cody Johnson, and when we went to go on, and Jay Jackson was opening as well. We were the first ones on, Jay Jackson and Cody Johnson, and she's an unreal talent as well. The sound company that we were using at the venue didn't have anything set up correctly. And everything was wired backwards. It was poorly done. So I was lucky enough to have my front of house guy, and my dad does sound as well. And they were there, and we were never worried, because I know enough about that to take orders from people to get something done. Mm-hmm. And so we went and we wired things to get things working. Got the second mixing board up and running. And my guys mixed my show and then mixed Jade's show, because the guys that were sent couldn't do it. And that's something that if you were not putting your time in, if you had not had those hours where things go wrong, and they do go wrong on the road, especially.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have that in your system or are not prepared for it, you're going to look horrible. And if you can't go and play in a venue where the things are wrong and make the best of it and make sound work, then it doesn't look bad on the venue. No one walks out and goes, well, the venue sounded horrible tonight. No, they walk out and they go, hey, Drew Cooper sounded bad tonight. and that's something I learned a long time ago. If you can't play with just a guitar and just a microphone with nothing extra to it, go home and practice more. That's how I feel about it. And I'm not going to apologize for feeling that way about it.
No, I wouldn't apologize about it. No.
I just think people need to put more work in. And I think people rush to put out music. And I've been guilty of that too. And I got told things. I learned. I'm not saying this because I've come out and just put these hit albums out. I haven't. But what I have done is I've gone and I've screwed up a number of times and been lucky enough to have a second chance given to me by people and or the right help come along and go, hey, let us help you fix this. So the one thing they've all told me is what I'm trying to tell all these young guys coming out, woodshed this stuff. Put yourself in a room. Play. Go ask for help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. And if someone doesn't want to help you, that's fine. It's not because they're not a good person. I almost cussed right there. I apologize.
We can handle a couple of cuss words here and there. This isn't, we're not broadcasting.
I'm trying to be good about it though.
I appreciate it. Now on the podcast, we'd appreciate that.
Yeah, there you go. But
by the way, folks, if you, be sure to check out, the podcast version. This will be up this evening and you can listen to Drew in your car and on your phone on any medium you can think of, from Spotify to iTunes to Amazon, TuneIn.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Thank you. No, it's just one of those things where I think people need to take the time to appreciate the shoulders they're standing on. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, no one in this business is self-made. At no point do you wake up in the morning and all of a sudden you're a superstar or know this person or this person. You're always introduced by somebody else because they feel you've put the work in to earn that. And if you can't take the time to appreciate what you've earned by working harder to be better at than what you are at that time, then don't even bother. And it sounds like I'm kind of cynical about it, but it's more about being realistic with people getting into the business. Put your time in. You know, and sometimes there are just unnatural talents that come in and they soar, and they should. That should happen. But in the long run, most people need to put the work in because it's just the way it is. Just the way life is.
Well, nothing comes easy, you know. I mean, I've seen musicians come in just, you know, let's go back, a minute. You were saying, we were talking about patience and they're coming in and they think they're going to be big right away, right? Mm-hmm. And they hit it almost too hard, and then they get frustrated when they're not getting gigs or whatnots, and then sometimes that creates that bad behavior we were talking about earlier. I've seen bands where they started off well. Hell, there's a band that I work with, Highway 260 band. The first year I think they were they were out there. I want to say maybe they did 12 shows. I don't know, not many. And then since I've been working with them, they've, I have to look at my numbers, but I think since, and again, it's a newer band, great talent.
Oh, the guys are great. They're nice dudes.
Have you seen Highway 262?
I've talked to them several times.
Oh, excellent. So yeah, I think I want to say it's around 120 shows I've booked with them so far. And that's in like a year, you know. Yeah. You know, I mean,
and that's the thing though. If people are willing to go out and play, you know, when I first went full time, I was playing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
They are not undercutting though. I want to point that out.
Oh, I know they're not.
They're getting their worth.
Yeah.
They're getting
I've talked to those guys. I actually have a pretty decent relationship with them. In my opinion, you know, I go out and I think when you're starting out at this, you should be head down playing every dive bar you can.
Yep.
Play places where people don't care about your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to teach you two things. You learn not to take criticism too harshly, and especially from people you would never ask their advice from. And then two, you mold yourself as a player because you have to. They're going to point out every weakness you have, and they don't care. And I think it's a great thing. I mean, the Cow Pony is the dive bar in Tucson. But I've played some pretty rough spots. So,
oh, I'm sure you have.
I mean, it's worth it because then you come out of it and you're like, well, if I can play there, I can do this now. Or you go in there and you have a horrible show and you kind of go, okay, I need to work a little bit harder now. that's all it comes down to. I mean, it's just like anything else in life. The more time you put into it, the better you're going to be.
Well, let's change gears here for a second. Here.
Shoot. Let's do it.
We're getting about to the 60-minute mark. I want to really dive into this. You and I were talking earlier, and I think it's a really cool topic. So you have told me that your music was heavily influenced by Red Dirt country music.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're doing more of a pony rock thing. So I want to touch upon that. And for those of y'all that are watching in Nashville, because I know you are, because I can see where you're coming from, I want you to listen to this because if you're not familiar with Drew, and if you are, awesome, but he's got a killer, really killer sound, and I think we should still try and embrace that. So this pony rock thing is actually new to me, but after you explained it, it kind of makes sense. So can you tell the watchers and the listeners a little bit about it?
Yeah, so... there was a time that I, I'm not from the Oklahoma, Texas area. I'm heavily influenced though by Red Dirt, Texas country music.
Uh-huh.
But with that said, the Arizona has its own sound. You know, there's been in Arizona for 25 years. I'm originally from Illinois. And the difference between the way a Midwest band plays and the way an Arizona band plays, and compared to the way a Texas band plays, or, you know, I do have friends out in Nashville and they don't play the music the same way.
Right.
And that's a great thing though. And I would never want anyone to be pigeonholed into a sound. It's just, you're not going to be, you're a great artist. Let's look at old and new. Usually they come out of bunches. Those big artists come in bunches from certain areas, certain times. Jackson Brown, the Eagles. The band, all those guys that came out of Woodstock and that were all playing together. Yeah. They were playing for everyone out there. They were the musician. They were, you know, they backed everybody.
You know, Drew, my dad was actually at Woodstock.
Your dad's lucky.
Well, so you want to know what he was doing though?
And if it's PC, sure, go for it.
Yeah, well, he was. He was hauling crappers.
Hey, so, someone made that's the only person that made money on that whole damn thing.
He was already driving trucks, so at that point, see, he's out of Vietnam, so he was 20 something years old. But yeah, he was hauling crappers in and out of Woodstock. And he, by the way, he said it was a mess.
Oh,
he said
yeah.
It was just a disaster. He, you know, he always told me, he's like, son, he's like, man, the music was great. What's his face at one point? So they were unloading his flatbed, right? And, this is a sin. I can't remember the guy's name. Who was the guy who was known for the national anthem?
Now I can't think of it. Left-handed played guitar.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix. While they were unloading the trailer at one point, Jimi Hendrix came on stage and he said it was like literally, and he played the anthem. Literally, he said one of the best performances he ever seen. Now, see, I was raised in very rural New Jersey. My dad's definitely a cowboy. He was a Wrangler. He's still to this day a truck driver, very country, but he loves his rock. And that's where like I get my like Tom Petty influence or Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And all that. And when I started playing guitar, a lot of that came out in that.
Oh, and that's the idea behind Pony Rock is you get that.
Yeah.
It's not just about a country sound, you know, and it's not just about like a bunch of the guys that I love came from Oklahoma and North Texas and San Antonio area. But I'm not going to be them. I don't have the same influences. I don't have the same inputs into my life they had musically, scene wise, that they did. And so, but what I do have is I grew up listening to country and 80s pop, with my mom, AM radio, a lot of AM radio. My grandmother sang, in the church choir. I played piano, Bon Jovi, Sublime. My uncle introduced me to Stone Temple Pilots, Alice in Chains. And then, you know, then you move out to Arizona and you get all kinds of people. This amazing rock scene out of Phoenix. And there's a good rock scene down here in Tucson and they influence you. And then there's guys I played with down here in Tucson, Jay Faircloth. You know, he introduced me to that Southern rock and it made it sound different, made it sound real to me, opposed to sounding like something that was, you know, almost cartoonish on every movie. You know, what, like, and I love Skinner, but you, Tuesday's Gone comes on now, and what do you think? Happy Gilmore. That's where my brain goes. So you get these really great influences, and I'm not country, and I'm not rock. I'm somewhere happily in between, and I have no problem not fitting to either one of those.
Okay.
So I found a place where I fit and it's, I call it Pony Rock. And, my friends and I feel like this is kind of who, and what this artist is our scene. This is the scene we're taking and in, out into the world. And, it's just, you know, it's different and it's cool because it's not like everybody else, but you can jump from one to the other pretty quickly.
I think that's awesome. And that's why when we were talking earlier, I was asking about that because I love the sound, but it was like, well, where are we? It's like right in between. It's like a kind of like a mesh of all of it.
Well, look at this way. The album that the White Horse album was recorded at the 606 in LA. That's the Foo Fighter studio. That's where that album's recorded.
Right.
And then I recorded there. And then my buddies went out there and I got my buddy, TJ Taylor played from the Coltranes, played guitar on my album. And then we got the opportunity to have them go out there and make their album out there. And they made a killer album as well. My first EP was made in Nashville and there's parts of it that sound like me and there's parts of it that sound like Nashville and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But it was just, I hadn't finished growing and I hope I never finished growing into my sound. But at that time I was pretty well influenced by my producers, which it's hard to say, you know, tell guys no when they have Grammys sitting there in the studio. So you have this grow process and at no point to be pigeonholed or pushed into a group of people completely. I think you could come into a show and go, well, hey, this guy's a country guy. And I think I can also be playing a rock show and someone goes, hey, this is a rock show. And that's how I want it to be. I don't want the music to be so flatly stuck into something, you know, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Like I could go listen to Jason Isbell all day long and Tom Petty, and then you're gonna have Brooks and 90s Brooks and Dunn, Garth Brooks, you're gonna Luke Combs, you're gonna have all these guys, Eric Church, you're gonna have these guys pop up on that playlist because I enjoy their music too. I mean, and at the same night, no joke. Yesterday it went Petty, Doobie Brothers, and then ZZ Top, followed by Luke Combs. And I'm okay with that. And then actually the three songs after that, because it was a good day, I was sitting in a pool listening to this music and thinking, oh, this set list is awesome. I made the set list and I'm kissing my own ass here. But the, you know, I'm sitting there thinking about it, and it's, and then after that it was Randy Rogers, Cross Canadian, and Shane Smith and the Saints. So it's this wide view of music that has pushed me. I can't be pushed in any one of their groups because I'm so influenced by all the other people out there right now. This is what it came back to. You know, this is how I make my music. So
awesome.
Hopefully I wasn't talking in circles.
No, you're good. You're good. But we're about out of time here. So, but before we go, Drew, I want to say thanks for finally doing the show. But
yeah,
I wanna,
absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I want to have you back once things open up. I'd like to do something. We'll come down to you in Tucson if you like. We have a portable studio. We'll bring it down. I'd love to do something.
However you want to do it.
That'd be a blast. But if you're up here playing, you know, get with me and we can do it at the venue too. But I'd love to do something in person with you because there's still so much more that I think we could really cover here.
Absolutely.
You really are an interesting guest, and there's so much, you know, and I like right on the same page with you. I love where you're going with this stuff. And, you know, and if people always ask me too, it's like, you own Country Road Entertainment, right? Yeah. So you only do country road or country music. No, that's not true. I've actually had bands call me up and say, yeah, all right, we're looking for someone to do a photo shoot, the demo, but do you only do country music? Like, well, one, do you have money? Yes. Okay. Well, that's fine. But
now we can do anything.
Now we can do anything. But in all honesty, I love all my music. You know, a lot of people, I don't even think it's a secret, but I tell a lot of people my actual go-to when the world is crazy, I still go back to classical music, man. You know, just,
oh, we're on our drives home from loud shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's either silence or classical music.
Okay. 100% agree. I'm coming back from a shoot. Silence or classical music.
Yeah. Right? You got to get your head right after a show. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it's always great if you have your friends, if you're not driving right after a show, because a lot of times we'll play a show and then we have to go somewhere else. We have a 4 to 6 hour drive after that show. And we like to get to wherever we're going, so we get to a hotel room and sleep in a normal, usually, hopefully, a normal time of the day. So, it's silence or classical music, because you don't want to. I mean, and we tried listening back to our own shows to kind of critique them after the show, and we're all like, "Yeah, just turn that off. None of us want to hear it."
I totally get it. Well, hey, let's get some plugins for you, okay?
Yeah. So,
now Drew's website is www.thedrewcooper.com, and he's got a new shirt designs out available for pre-order. And hey, Drew, I actually have one on order.
The hell yeah. That set of orders just went in 2 days ago, so you should be getting them soon.
I was actually going to ask you, like, how long do I have to wait for that shirt? I think I ordered it like a week or two ago.
Yeah, so because of the COVID, everything's a little slower, so we try to make sure we have a large enough order that our t-shirt guy's not making, you know, 4 or 5 at a time. So usually we can get that order up to 30 or 40 shirts if we give it 2 weeks to load up. So turnaround is usually pretty quick when it gets them done.
Oh, a couple of quick comments here while we're wrapping up. Mr. Wagner is on here.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing, man? Hey, Tom, get a hold of me. I want to talk to you.
Tom's a hell of a performer. If you guys haven't seen him, he puts on a hell of a show.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, Tom messaged me. I think I think you and I were chatting before, but I need to get that going again. Carly wants to know real quick before we end, what is your favorite George Strait song?
Marina Del Rey.
Nice.
Nothing's close to Marina Del Rey. That, or, I mean, anything off of What's the movie? Why am I bringing this? Anything off Pure Country is great, but Rio
Devil. I just saw that this past year for the first time. My wife made me watch it. I'm like, oh my God, this movie's awesome. And the soundtrack was phenomenal. But we watched it. I can't remember if it was right. Yeah, it was right before we went and saw George Strait play in Vegas. And again, on YouTube, www.youtube.com/countryroadentertainment, we actually did a video where we went to that, and we got as much footage as we can of George, but you get to see the whole experience. But yeah, you can't film George without getting in trouble. You can only get little clips.
Yeah, you know, he's a smart guy.
So you can also find Drew on Facebook at Drew Cooper.
Yep, Drew are Cooper.
Are you on YouTube? I'm not YouTube.
Instagram. Yeah, Drew Cooper _ music.
Okay.
And then we're also on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Google, Pandora, depending on if I've pissed them off or not. And what else? I mean, anything that you can stream music on, we are there.
Excellent. All right, man. Hey, thank you so much for being on the air. We are out of time. It's so awesome we finally got to do this, and hopefully we don't have to wait another couple years again to do
it. Yeah, let's definitely not. We'll make it work sooner rather than later.
Awesome. And as soon as everything opens up, I will be hooking up the RV to my truck and heading down to Tucson, and I'm going to
come on down.
Gonna do a 3-day tour in Tucson, man. We're gonna get some film going on, and we're gonna get some drinks, and we're gonna see y'all play down there in your own
ground. Sounds good. We'll make sure we get Ubers that night. Safety first.
Well, my RV will be parked at my in-laws.
There you go.
All right. Thanks again, Drew. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
All right. 100%. Well, there you have it, folks. Now, This absolutely was one of my favorite interviews so far. And we're going to have to do another segment with Drew. He's got so much to say, so much. The man's got so much talent, and his views on music and everything are like dead on with mine. I love it. And I love getting that kind of stuff out to the public and everything. But with that, thank you again for watching. If you're listening, we appreciate you. Don't forget to check us out on www.patreon.com/countryroadentertainment. We are viewer supported. This is how we keep things rolling. And I do this full time, 100%. You can also follow us on Facebook at Country Road Entertainment. And if you are in the Arizona area, we do have one group dedicated to the state, which is live country music in Arizona. Other than that, we are covering country music throughout the country. And we are looking forward to getting back on the road. My next two destinations, once everything is 100% open and safe, I'll be back in Denver for probably up to about 4 days. And then I'll be heading up to Nashville, Tennessee after that. So love you guys. Thanks for watching. Be sure to hit that like button if you're watching on YouTube. And even if you're not, head over to YouTube, look at Inside Studio Siri and Country Road Entertainment, hit that like button and hit the subscribe button. That way, every time we do put out another video, you'll get an alert and a notification. All right. Thanks all. Have a great night, and be safe and be healthy. All right. See you soon.